It's good to be here today, and it's great to see everybody we have out with us, and we just praise God for your presence this day. I hope and pray that you've had a good week in the weeks past, and I hope and pray that this next week will be a good week for you. You know, if you want to open your Bible to Psalm 131, this will kind of be the text of our sermon this morning, what we'll be talking about. And it has to do with giving. And I hope to show us and get us to understand that through God's forgiveness, we have become new creatures in Jesus Christ. Through God's forgiveness, the door is opened for us to become new. And we're going to look at this passage here in Psalm 130. We'll start with verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord there is mercy, and with him is pleased redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This verse predicts the forgiveness and redemption that we have from God. If there were no forgiveness for God, there would be no hope for any of us, because we are all sinners. Every one of us falls short of the glory of God. You know, have you ever told a lie? Then you're guilty of sin. Have you ever had malice and ill will toward somebody? Have you ever felt like, you're guilty of sin. That's sin. You ever felt hatred in your heart? That's sin. And you know, when we stand before God, what we want is mercy and forgiveness. We don't want judgment. And we are all sinners. If we've ever taken anything, you know, you ever taken any candy from your brother or your sister? You ever went by and just found something and you took it and you took it for yourself? You know, we all are guilty some way or another, some place here or there. We're sinners. And the Bible declares it in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care what kind of just person thinks he's lived his life in a perfect way. He's committed sin. Every one of us have committed sin, and we're guilty of sin. In Acts 10, I want you to notice Acts 10, verse 36, it said, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption, that being Jesus Christ. But be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. It's through Jesus Christ we have preached to us the forgiveness of sins. And that's why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me or through me. No one gets to God but through Jesus Christ. Through the forgiveness that Christ extends to all of us. By this forgiveness of sins, by this remission of sins, we're able to come to God. We're able to come in the presence of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That's the price we all pay for our sin, no matter which one it is. Or how big we think it is, or how little we think it is. There's death pronounced upon every soul that's born and lives and matures to adulthood. And only through the forgiveness of Christ can we have a new life. Turn over to Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, we want to begin reading verse 16. Acts 26 and verse 16. He said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me." You see, we have a forgiveness of sins and we are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. In Him is our redemption. He is the door and He is the way, and there's no other way that a man can come to God except through Him. And we see that Paul was told to go and to open their eyes, to remove the power of Satan from them. When we see the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, when we realize the mercy and forgiveness that God has poured upon us through Christ Jesus our Lord, this forgiveness opens the door. It enables us. It provides the way that we can become a new person, that we can become a new being. In Romans 3:25, he said, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." You see, Jesus is through His blood, this righteousness is declared the remission of sins. We can have it all removed and taken away through the forbearance of God through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." You see, it's by the life of Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross, His blood that was shed for us, we have this forgiveness of sin. And we're clean. 2 Corinthians 5:15, "And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You see, we realize when we see this and we know that we are not to live the way we used to live, not to do the things we did, but we are new creatures in Christ. And he says in verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we no man, know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." In Christ, you see, we learn not to have malice. In Christ, and through His forgiveness, we see that we're not to have guile in our minds, in our hearts, in our mouths. There's no hatred, there's no greed, there's no selfishness. We become unselfish, as Christ was unselfish. We see how He unselfishly loved us. We see how He has reached out to forgive us and give us a new hope and a new life. And so through this knowledge, we'll give the strength to be transformed into new beings, to become a new man, a new person in Jesus Christ. In Romans 12:2, he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God." See, we're changed. Our minds are changed. Sometimes it takes a little while, little by little, we change, and we become more and more like Christ, and we become new, renewed in the Spirit and in the will of God. Ephesians 5:26, he says, "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." You see, the word, as we read and study the word, it's cleansing us. It's showing us how to be cleansed and to be more and more like Christ. The word tells us to be baptized in the water to wash away our sins for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As we look upon that forgiveness and that cleansing and all the iniquity and sin that we committed that He took away and forgave us of, this changes us to where we can turn around and forgive others and treat others like Christ treated us. Titus 3:5, he says, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. By this study and understanding these things, you see, our sins are washed away, we're born of the Holy Spirit, and we read the Word and the Spirit works with us, we grow and we learn and we see how we'll be like Christ. And what Christ did and how He suffered and how He forgave, by this knowledge of God's forgiveness, we're given the opportunity to be transformed into a new man, a new person who forgives as He was forgiven. That would make us all new. You know, if you could forgive as you were forgiven by God, you wouldn't have bitterness toward anybody. You wouldn't feel like cursing about things in anybody. If you could forgive like God forgave us, if you could see that forgiveness, how much a better world we would have to live in, how much better we would do at living in this world. Jesus taught us to pray. In Matthew 6:12, He said, forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors. You know, we learn to forgive. Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Turn over to Ephesians 4. This is a key to being a new person. Realizing, seeing that forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, then in turn we learn to treat people like Christ treated people. To have the same forgiveness, mercy, and understanding that He had. We turn to Ephesians 4. We'll begin reading verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You know, the old man, he was cursed or nigh the cursing. He had hard feelings. He had malice and hatred and ill will toward those around him. And he would do things like that he shouldn't do, and he'd take things that didn't belong to him. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And if you put on the new man after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, we put on that new man, which is like Christ, like God. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him the soul steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, and that he may have to give to them that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And when you read that passage, think about how Christ was on that cross. Think about how Christ was when they come and they took him and bound him. And he had done no wrong. Think about how he dealt there. And it says in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You see, we are new creatures and new beings because we become like Christ. Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, but be any praise, think on these things. You see, we can do that when we emulate Christ Jesus and emulate His life. Turn to 1 Peter 2:1-3. We want to read this over in Peter. And again, we see he's talking about things that Christ did not have. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, you know, if someone took you and beat you like they beat Christ, would you have malice? And all guile, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speaking? If they come and mock you up today for something that you had not done, you had done no wrong, Christ had never done any wrong, and they took you out and put you in prison and beat you, some of us may be cursing. And he said, put away all evil speaking. But it goes beyond that. It wasn't even in his heart. It wasn't in his mind. And he said, in newborn days, desire the sincere measure of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you tasted the Lord is gracious. You see, we tasted the Lord is gracious. It enables us to be that kind of person we need to be. That new creature, that new being in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus didn't deserve anything he received. He was innocent completely. But none of us can say that. We're all guilty. And if we receive punishment and we receive the evil things and hard things, we know we're guilty. And some people, you know, they go around and say, well, they blame everybody but themselves. It's all everybody else's fault but not mine. Well, you know, we're all at fault. Every one of us are guilty. But Christ forgave us because he loved us. Because he loves us, not that we deserve his love or deserve his forgiveness. He loves us because he decided he's going to grant forgiveness to us. And he died for us. So we can have that forgiveness. He died for us so that we can be washed and cleansed and be free of all of our past sins and start over new again with Christ. Do you have trouble forgiving people? Do you have trouble letting things go? I want you to consider Jesus Christ. Every time you have troubles in that category and you have trouble forgiving people or just letting go of things you know you ought to let it go, then I want you to look at Christ. Think about what happened to him. Think about what he went through. Has he ever been lied about and accused falsely? Jesus was. He was lied about. And he was wrongly accused. Have you ever been hated by those that some around you in the world? Jesus was hated. People hated him. Have you ever been cursed by men? Jesus was. He was cursed by men. Have you ever been threatened that they were going to take your life? You know, they're going to kill you, hurt you? Jesus was. He was threatened. And then they carried out the threats. He was beaten. Have you ever had anybody just tie you up and beat you? Jesus was. He was. You ever had anybody spit in your face? Just come up and spit in your face because they dislike you and hate you so much? Jesus was. He was spat upon. Have you ever been forsaken by your family? He was. By your friends? Turned against you? He was. Jesus was. Have you ever anybody to steal your things? Take them things away from you? They took everything Jesus had. They took his things. His only garments he had to wear. And they parted lives for it. Matthew 26, verses 65 through 68. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace. A damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Now we'll turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man, Cyrene Simon, by name. Him they compelled about his cross. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. I parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set over his head his accusation, written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down now from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." And these which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness upon all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lasamana," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The thing about Jesus, he never said an ill word toward any of them. He never reached out to get even, because that was not in his heart. He hung on that cross. He didn't threaten, nor did he curse, nor did he plead for his life. You know what he did? He said, "Father, forgive him." He had forgiveness. And that's what should turn us and change us and open the door in our eyes to realize how we can become a better person. How we can become like Christ. You know, Jesus suffered in all ways that we have to suffer. He was tempted at all points at which we could be tempted, and yet without sin. And because of that, he's able to suffer you and I. He's able to forgive us of our sins and open the door for our cleansing and provide the way for eternal life for us. It said in Hebrews 2:18, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Christ knows our feelings. He knows our hurts. He knows how we're tempted. He understands. Today, what about your life? Do you have ill wills? Do you have hard times forgiving people and things about you? Do you have forgiveness in your heart? Or do you need forgiveness yourself here today? Do you need to grant forgiveness? People don't change because they don't realize the greatness and the great forgiveness that God has extended to us and what He's done for us. How can we hold anybody guilty of anything when we just realize that God has not held us guilty for our sins? You know, through the blood of Christ, all things can be cleansed. Acts 22:16, the Apostle Paul was told Why tarriest thou? Arise to be baptized, washing away thy sins. Here was a man who was filled with hatred. Here's a man who had committed murder. Here's a man that was very strong in condemning other people. To say he done no wrong, he was all righteous and they were all bad. And he tried to destroy all the Gentiles and everybody who didn't believe like he believed. Who didn't believe in the law of Moses. But his past sins washed away. All his hatred washed away. All his ill will and malice he had toward others washed away. And then you see a different man fall. Now you see a man that they beat and left for dead. You see a man that did not curse, did not plead for his life. He lived like Jesus Christ. He was willing to forgive and to get up and to go on. 1 John 1:9. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You see, when we come and are baptized into Christ, all our past sins are washed away. And then if we continue to do things that are not right, you know, remember I said little by little, we're not able to conquer everything in our life at once. But when we see it, we confess it, ask forgiveness of it, and through this washing and regeneration of the Word and learning and studying the Word and seeing how you ought to be and confessing that forgiveness, we're cleansed over and over and over and become stronger and stronger and stronger to live like Jesus Christ. To have that forgiveness, that there be no guile and no ill will in your mind and your heart and your mouth. This morning, if you're here and subject to gospel calling, either way, we give you the opportunity to come. If you need to come and baptize in Christ, washing away all your past sins. Well, if you're here today as a Christian, you've been in the body of Christ. You realize that this thing in your life is not right. You can confess it. This is an opportunity for you to make confession, and we'll pray with you and for you. God will forgive you, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you're here today and subject to the gospel call anyway, we ask you to come. We stand and say.